Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, sisters, we will continue to learn about envy as a disease of the heart caused by the shaitan. And again, to remind ourselves and also for the sisters who didn't attend, we must know that envy is a disease of the spirit that has grave psychological, moral, and social harmful effects, which everyone has to be aware of it, so that we must all try to avoid envy. Now, let us learn how to avoid envy, how to avoid this feeling in the heart. In order to avoid this feeling, we must realize that the envious is a loser. He is a loser or she is a loser regarding this worldly life and the life to come. Let us learn this fact in detail, as it will help every one of us to try to avoid being envious to others. Number one, the envious is the person who wishes for the deprivation of the blessings possessed by another person. And this feeling is a reflection of being not accepting Allah's decree regarding the distribution of the blessings. That is to say, not accepting Allah's decree. This is a very important point which must be clear in the mind of every one of us, so that it will be all the time a reminder for every one of us to avoid this feeling, envy. If you have this feeling in your spirit, remind yourself, this is a sign that I am not agreeing for the way of the distribution of the blessings by Allah. Okay? So, I am not accepting Allah's decree. Okay? We must all the time believe that according to the belief in Allah's decree, you have to be sure that when Allah blessed a person with a blessing which you don't have, this means that this is better for you. For example, I was a pediatrician and then Allah planned for me not to work. Okay, and to shift to call to Allah the Almighty. So sometimes, you know, I have a call from my country back that my colleague, whom she was with me in medical school, she is now the dean of the medical school. And she has a very prestigious, you know, job. And everyone is looking, you know, to know her. And then for a minute the shaitan will come to me and tell me, look to yourself. You are all the time either in the kitchen or cleaning the house. Why? Why? You studied a lot and you were, and I have an internship, you know, and I have a Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim training program, and I worked as a neonatologist for 6 years, day and night, you know. And this is the end. She is a dean. And you are, alhamdulillah, something else, not a deen, alhamdulillah. So, at that point, you know, if I don't believe from the depths of my heart in the decree of Allah, if I don't believe that Allah chooses for me the best, I will have the feeling of envy, 100%. And I will be questioning, you know, oh Allah, why I don't have the same situation or the same job. But when you believe in Allah's decree, okay, this is the mercy of Allah, that Allah will send for you a message, so long you are an obedient servant to me, I am choosing for you the best. Trust Allah. Trust the choice of Allah. So at that moment, okay, alhamdulillah, I will feel and I will believe from the depths of my heart that, alhamdulillah, Allah chooses for me the best. Oh Allah, I am content with what you choose for me, and I am grateful for that, and I will get this idea out of my mind. You know, the comparison. the comparison of where I am and where is she and why this and that. Okay? So, when someone has that feeling of envy in the heart, at the same moment, you must start discussing, you know, this feeling. Why I have the feeling? I am not believing in Allah's decree. Allah doesn't have the wisdom and the knowledge to choose for me the best. No, I never think of Allah like this. I always think that Allah is the one who has all the wisdom and Allah has all the knowledge and Allah is the most merciful. Accordingly, whatever Allah chooses for me is the best. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, all the time try to believe that whatever Allah chooses for you is the best. And actually it is known in Islam, basically, okay, that there are people whom, for example, the little income is better for them. They can be better believers when they have little income. And there are other people, the great income is a must for them to be good believers. Who knows this fact? Allah, the creator of all of us. Accordingly, Allah, up to His knowledge and up to His wisdom, He may have the plan that I will be a poor person because this is better for me, better for my nature, better for my character, better for my relation with Allah. And my sister, she will be very rich because this is better for her. She can be a better believer when she's living very good life for me, or very, you know, high class life. For me, Allah knows. You know, this is the belief in Allah. This is the belief in Allah's decree. This is the belief in Allah's wisdom and knowledge. It is more better for me that I will be having little income. If I have a great income, I will be all the time interested in the worldly enjoyments and I will not be a good believer. Allah knows my nature. Allah knows her nature. Allah chooses for everyone what is the best for her. So when the people will believe in Allah's decree, there will be no envy in the hearts, because everyone will be content with what Allah chooses for her or for him. So regarding those whom they have envy in their heart, this means that they are not believers in reality in Allah's decree. And there are actually most of the people, when you ask them, are you a believer in Allah's decree? Yes, yes, I am a believer. Then when you observe their behavior, you will notice that their hearts are full of envy. Okay, so this means that in reality, they are not believers in Allah's decree. And I will give you a story now which will believe this hadith of Prophet Muhammad, inshallah. So all the time, you must send the message to yourself, I want to avoid being envious. How? By believing from my depths of my heart in Allah's decree. I must believe that whatever Allah chooses for me is the best for me, even if I don't like it, even if I am not convinced. Okay, but still, this is the best for me, and I have to be grateful to Allah and never to look for those whom they are higher than me. Okay, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 216, we will recite from the Holy Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الله الرحمن الرحيم وعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا وهو خير لكم وعسى أن تحبوا شيئا وهو شر لكم والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. But perhaps you hate a thing and it is good for you, and perhaps you love a thing and it is bad for you, and Allah knows while you know not.
So actually, sisters, if we believe in this fact that you may dislike a thing which is good for you and that you like a thing which is bad for you. For example, if I like to have a lot of income, but in reality it is bad for me, okay, I must remember the last words of this verse, and Allah knows and you don't know. So long Allah knows, so I must accept the decree of Allah, believing that this is the best for me. The second reason why the envious is a loser is that the envious is a transgressor to himself and to those around him. How? because envy motivates bad manners. For example, lying and backbiting, okay, which are sins that destroy the good deeds. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that, for example, if my daughter will come and tell me, look, Mama, your classmate is now a dean and you are a housewife, I will tell her, no, you know, I will tell you, my daughter, some facts about that sister, out of the feeling of envy, you know. No. I am more better than her. I am never lying. I am not, you know, having any... I will try, you know, to say about her things which are not good, so that I will have the feeling that I am better. Okay, and this is going on in our life. Whenever a sister is feeling envy towards the other one, for example, if you are in a dinner, and for example, your husband will tell you, look, the wife of my friend looks very nice today. This is a fire. No. She's full of makeup. All of this is artificial. And you will tell about it. You will lose the good deeds of a year in 5 minutes.
Start with, you shouldn't have said that.
Yes, he did a big mistake. This is the problem of mixing, you know, and this is why Islam is against mixing, okay? Because actually mixing causes a lot of problems, especially for the husband and wife if they mix with others, okay? And especially nowadays when plastic surgery is everywhere, okay? So you don't know this is her nature or this is after some operations, okay? So the problem is that you will lose all your good deeds. So you are a transgressor regarding your good deeds and regarding others. Why you are saying about her bad things? Because you have, you know, that feeling in your heart. So you must believe that the envious is a loser because he is a transgressor regarding his good deeds and also regarding the other people. The third cause regarding the fact that the envious is a loser is that in the daily life, the envious is always unhappy, worried, upset, and depressed because all the time he is living the feeling of comparison. Okay? All the time, those people whom they have envy in their hearts, they are all the time comparing themselves. My neighbor is having a better car last week. I am very unhappy. This week, the other neighbor, she is buying a new sofa. I am not happy. Next week, my sister in Cairo, she has, for example, whatever, something new. Or her daughter, she got very good grades and she will be actually in a good college, for example. My daughter not, so I will be unhappy. So those people whom they have this feeling in their hearts, most of the time they are living the comparison, okay? And so they are unhappy, worried, upset, and depressed. Having that feeling for a long time will lead to depression, hypertension, and it can lead to cancer. Because all the time you are putting a pressure, okay, on your... Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Help me with the word. Immunity system. All the time your immunity system is under pressure. I am not happy all the time. I am upset. I am not in a good mood. This feeling of depression is a pressure for the immune system. And all of this because of the feeling of envy. So the envious is a loser regarding his health and regarding his health, body health and mental health. So in summary, we must agree as Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said, be aware of envy, because envy consumes good deeds just as the fire consumes the firewood. And also he said, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, envy and hatred are the shearers of the religion. Okay? You cannot be a good Muslim and a good believer, and at the same time you feel that Allah is actually, there is no, you don't believe in Allah's wisdom regarding distribution of the blessings. So let us summarize the previous knowledge by revising how to avoid being an envious. Okay, number one, the belief of the wisdom, knowledge and justice of Allah. When you believe that Allah is the one who is the most wise and has all the knowledge, so I accept what the blessings of Allah. Number two, the belief in Allah's decree. Number three, the belief that the worldly life is deceiving enjoyment. And this is very important fact. Okay, why you feel envy towards the others? Okay, for whatever, even worldly enjoyment. Okay, car, house, health, kids, husband, family, okay, wealth, they are all, okay, worldly enjoyment. Worldly enjoyments in Islam equal deceiving enjoyments, okay?
But last week, I just wanted to last week it was said that if we envy the knowledge of Quran, that's good.
In Islam, I will clarify to you again the hadith of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessing be upon him. He said the hadith is that you can have the competition, okay, in two things. With those whom they have wealth and they are spending it day and night for Allah's sake, and those whom they have the Quran and they are living with it, understanding it and practicing it day and night. Okay, with these two people, you can have the feeling of competition. I want to be better than them. Because the Quran and spending for Allah's sake, they are not worldly enjoyments. They are deeds for the other life, you know, to have the reward from Allah. Okay, so you can have that feeling only with these two people, for the sake of Allah and practicing the Quran in your life. Number four, how to avoid being an envious. The belief that the envious, as we mentioned, is a great loser regarding the mental health and the body health. And also to believe that the real happiness in this life is to be content with Allah's decree. This is the only way to be happy in the worldly life, is to be content with what Allah planned for you. Whatever Allah gives me is the best for me. This is actually the definition of happiness in Islam, is acceptance. Okay, you must know this. Acceptance equals the real happiness in Islam, because you cannot change Allah's decree. Whatever Allah planned for every one of us, none can change. So you either accept and be grateful to Allah and love Allah and try to live according to the rules of Allah, Allah will shower you with His mercy, and inshallah, you will be all the time having the feeling of mental peace with the worldly life. The other choice is not to accept. Oh Allah, why me? Why me in anything? Okay, you are not accepting Allah's decree. This means that you are worried, you are upset, you are unhappy, and the problem of being not content with Allah's decree is that you will have this feeling of envy. But what is more dangerous is that your relation with Allah will become weaker every day. You will be away from Allah every day. I'm not happy. Everything is against me. Everyone is getting everything and I'm not getting anything. You know, the wrong feeling of the people whom they don't know Allah, actually, you know. When you know Allah, the Almighty, by knowing His names and His attributes, you will realize that Allah is the most merciful and Allah is the most generous. So why He will not give to every one of us what He is looking for? This is nothing for Allah the Almighty. And Allah said in one of His hadith, Qudsi, Allah said that, if I give to everyone from day one until the day of judgment, whatever they are looking for, this will not decrease from what I have, except like if you put a needle in the ocean. So try to imagine, if you put a needle in the ocean, how a drop of water will come with the needle? Very little, out of the ocean, water, or the ocean water. So if Allah gives to every human being since the creation of Prophet Adam until the day of judgment, whatever they are looking for, all they are looking for, it will not decrease from His kingdom except like the needle decreases from the ocean water. So this means that Allah can give to every one of us whatever you are looking for. But this worldly life is not the time to give to everyone whatever he is looking for. This worldly life is a test. This is the problem which we don't understand it, or we don't like to understand it, okay, or to accept. The worldly life is just a test, okay, but the reward will be in the other life. If we realize this fact, we will accept whatever comes from Allah because we are in the test. Okay? So inshallah, I hope that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, through this knowledge, we can be all the time reminding ourselves that I don't want to be from those whom they have envy in their hearts. I don't want to have this feeling because this is from the shaitan and this is a sign that I am not believing in Allah's decree. Now we will learn about a man from the paradise. Okay, Anas, one of the companions of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah peace and blessing be upon Prophet Muhammad and radiyallahu anhu, and Anas, he said, we were sitting in the presence of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. One day, Prophet Muhammad said, a person is about to arrive from this mountain pass who is from the people of the paradise. Prophet Muhammad said, the meaning someone will come in and that one is from his final destination will be the paradise. Okay, so a person from the Ansar arrived. His beard dribbling with the water of wudu. He has wudu, you know, he just finished his wudu. And he was holding his sandals in his left hand. He just finished wudu. And he gave us salam, and he said, they don't know him. The next day, Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said the same words. Now, a man from the paradise will come from that direction. And the same person appeared in the same condition. And so when Prophet Muhammad left, one of the people whom they were sitting, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, followed this person. Okay, and said, I will tell you the hadith, then I will explain it to you. One man followed this person, the man from the paradise, and said to him, would you let me stay with you for 3 days, and I swear not to go to my father, as I swore not to go to my father for 3 days. Okay? I will tell you the story. Actually, when Prophet Muhammad said that a man from the paradise will come, and that man he appeared twice, one of the people who was sitting with Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessing be upon him, he decided to know what is behind that man. So he went to the man and told him, I can't stay in my father's house. My father kicked me out. Can I stay with you for 3 days? Can you get me in your house for 3 days? His intention is to know what is behind that man, the man from the paradise. Okay? So, the man said to him, you are welcomed. Okay? Abdullah said, the person who was invited, he said, I noticed that I never heard him speak except good. This is number, after the 3 days, you know, that man Abdullah who was invited, he returned to the people to describe the reality of that man. What is the reality of that man which deserves paradise from Prophet Muhammad? He said, number one, he never speaks except good. This is number one. Number two, he sleeps the whole night until Fajr prayer. This means that he is not praying night prayer. He is just praying the obligatory prayers. So this is number two. And when he turns sides during sleeping, he will mention Allah and say takbir. Okay, Allahu Akbar. While he is moving from side to side during sleeping, he will remember Allah. So these are actually, you know, the three characters of that man whom Prophet Muhammad said about him twice. This is the man from the paradise. So when the 3 days finished, Abdullah, he said to the man of the paradise, I was with you the 3 days and I didn't notice that you have something special. You just pray the obligatory prayers and you know, and you when you turn remember Allah and you speak good. So, can I know your story? Because Prophet Muhammad said about you 3 times that you are a man from the paradise. Okay? So the man said, nothing more than what you have seen, except that I don't find in myself any disloyalty of any Muslim, neither I do find any jealousy for any Muslim, and I never look to the wealth that Allah has bestowed upon any Muslim. So Abdullah said, this is that which has reached you, and it is not easy for any one of us. So what is the meaning of this story, the man of the paradise? The meaning of this story, sisters, is that the most important in Islam is your heart. This is the most important. And Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, he said, Allah doesn't look to your shapes, okay, or to your looks. Allah look to your heart and to your deeds. Okay, so you must know that in Islam, the most important in the sight of Allah is your heart, the clean heart. We will recite now from Surah number 26, verse number 89, to know the importance of the clean heart, so that when we focus in Islam, you must focus on the reality of being a good believer, to have a good heart which is full of good intention towards Allah, towards everyone around you. At that moment, inshallah, you will have the good deeds, and inshallah you will be from those in the paradise, in spite of the fact that you are only praying the obligatory prayers, you are only fasting the month of Ramadan, okay, and you are giving the obligatory charity, you are not doing anything more than what is obligatory, but you have the clean heart, the good heart. This is the most important. Let us recite now from Surah number, you get it, 26. Surah number 26, verse number 89. Get it? Surah number 26. Recite from 83, inshallah, so that you will be aware of the important verse for us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabbi habli hukma wa alhiqni bil-salihin. Waj'alli lisana sidqin fil-akhirin. Waj'alni min warasati jannatin na'im. Waghfir li-abi innahu kana min al-dallin. Wala tukhzini yawma yub'asun. Yawma la ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. My Lord, grant me authority and join me with the righteous, and grant me a mentioned reputation of honor among later generations, and place me among the inheritor of the garden of pleasures. Of pleasure, and forgive my father. Indeed, he has been of those astray. And do not disgrace me on the day they are all resurrected, the day when they will not benefit anyone, wealth or children, but only one who comes to Allah with a sound heart.
Okay, Allah is clarifying that these are the words of Allah. It is the day when the wealth or the children will not benefit anyone except the one who comes to Allah with a sound heart, clean heart, good heart, a believing heart. So actually we are learning that that man was promised paradise because of his clean heart regarding his fellow Muslims, in spite of the fact that his religious acts are just the obligatory ones. But because of the clean heart, he is promised paradise. Clean heart means no jealousy, no envy, no hatred. Instead, there is mercy, love, and compassion. So actually, sister, it was mentioned that they said to that man, it is not easy. It is not easy to have the clean heart. Okay? And again, why it is not easy to have the clean heart? Because of the weak belief in Allah's decree. Everyone is not happy or not accepting Allah's decree. So the heart is not clean. I am not convinced. I have envy toward that one. I have hatred toward that one. I have jealousy toward that one because of the belief in Allah's decree. If you want to have a clean heart, the only way to have a clean heart is to be content with Allah's decree. Okay, to be all the time, sisters, appreciating the blessings. Okay, when you appreciate the blessings which you have, you will be content with Allah's decree. How to appreciate the blessings? When you look to the people below you, not to look to the deen. Okay, not to look to the people whom they are above you. To look to the people whom they are below you. Okay? Regarding your health, regarding your wealth, regarding your family. Okay? When you look to the people, for example, I was not happy because I am not the deen. So why I will not look to the people whom they were never educated? Okay? If I have little income, why I will look to the people whom they are homeless? Okay? If you try to look to the people whom they are below you, you will be content with Allah's decree and you will be appreciating the blessings. When you have the feeling that I have a lot of blessings in my heart, immediately you will be content with what Allah gives you. But the most important is to feel the blessings, to live the blessings, to memorize the blessing, to say today alhamdulillah I wake up with a good health, today alhamdulillah I have food in the refrigerator, today alhamdulillah I have a car, today alhamdulillah I have a family, today alhamdulillah I can come to the masjid to have a lot of good deeds, so alhamdulillah today I have a lot of blessings. Okay, if you have this feeling alive in your heart all the time, you will never look to the people around you at all. You will be content. And this is the way to be away from envy. Now we will learn about another form of envy, which is the evil eye. Okay? I will...
Question?
Yes.
You know the hadith you were telling about? I heard a similar hadith. I've been hearing it since my childhood as well, but this has nothing to do with envy or anything. But as far as I remember, the way I heard the hadith is about that the Prophet ﷺ, he said about that someone came and he said that he's from Jannah, he's going to be someone from paradise. And then the guy, he said he wanted to stay with him. And as I remember, it was something in along those lines that he used to cook food. And in the night, he used to go to this room. And he would go and he would see that he would be feeding his old mother.
No, this is not the hadith.
It's not the same hadith?
It is not.
Okay, but is this a hadith as well? Because that's something I've been hearing. I don't have the quotation of numbers or anything, but this is something
I want to tell you, because you know, whatever I have, I memorize it, because I am repeating this. This hadith, this is a famous hadith, because you know, it is related to the heart. And the problem of most of the people is that they can come to the masjid and pray, they can put hijab, but they can't have clean hearts. You know, it is very difficult. So this hadith is very special for this area, your heart. It is not related to do good deeds. That man is just doing the basics of Islam. But the most difficult is that he can control the feelings of his heart. You know, so this is a totally different story. You know, to give food or to help people, this is different. But in this special, you know, situation, how to avoid having envy or hatred or any bad feeling, okay? It is through to have a good heart. How to have a good heart? This is a very difficult, you know, issue. Because actually, in your life, in the masjids, I always meet many sisters in different masjids. They are putting hijab. They are praying and everything. But when you talk to them, sometimes you feel that, look to the bag of Shawan. Oh, how much I can't buy one like this. Then you feel the feelings in the eyes. It is very, very clear. We will discuss about the evil eye. In a second, what is this bag? How much? This is real or fake? I am sure it is not real. I am sure. Because if it is real, I will be in big trouble. But if it is not, it is thanks to Allah. It is not real. So it is real. It is better to say not, even if it is real. This is what we will learn with the evil eye. And Allah, No, this is not lying, you know. I will tell you now, Prophet Muhammad, he advised us to hide, you know, the good wish you have from those whom they have it, because they cannot control their hearts.
So because my husband likes nice things, but like their family is always like, do not show, don't tell the family that you got this, don't tell. It's just it, and you would think that everyone would be happy for you, but it's
the opposite.
It is not.
Dr. Mona, when I was 10 years old, I traveled to a country and it's called Benin. And I was wondering why in the city all the houses are always looking, there's no paint, and inside is nice, but outside is very, it's not looking good. So they never paint the house, they don't put bricks, they don't put any siding or anything like that. And it looks bad. And I was like, I always ask, why no one decorates outside? They say you cannot do that because if anyone sees that you have something good, you'll be in trouble.
You see, this is the issue, unfortunately. You see, this is so, to have an outside Islamic picture, this is very easy. But the most difficult is the heart, to have the sound heart and the clean heart. And because of that, that man will be in the paradise, in spite of the fact he just have the obligatory, you know, actions, because...
You should erase that part because I said the name of the country.
No, the evil eye, because the evil eye is related to it. The evil eye is a penetrating look. Penetrating look. Okay? By which the eye is believed to cause illness, injury, or death upon its unintentional or intentional target. For example, there are people whom they have that evil eye, but they don't have the intention to harm others. Okay? There are people like this.
Love can also give nazar. Like when I look at my nephew, I feel so much love. Yes. You know, and I'm scared that I'm...
That there are people whom continuously they have this evil eye while they don't have the intention. Whatever they look at, it will be destroyed or harmed. Okay? But they don't have the intention. But this is the nature of their eyes, and they knew this about themselves. Okay, there are people, yes, like this, they are good people, they don't have any bad intention, but unfortunately, it is their look.
Yes.
Their look is a problem. Okay? And actually, those people, they always knew that about themselves. Okay? So this is one kind of the evil eye, or one type. The other type is the... This is actually the bad evil eye when you have the intention to harm. Okay, for example, when you see that there is a beautiful baby, for example, and my kids are not beautiful, for example, and this is the kid of, you know, the brother of my husband, this very special relation. Okay. My husband is all the time telling me, look to the son of my brother, look to the son of my brother, and look to my son. He looks like you. The son of my brother looks like his mother. So at that time, I must use my ways. That boy will have one evil eye, one only. And then Allah knows what will be his future. Unfortunately, there are some people whom they do this intentionally. Okay? And basically, we must know that Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said, the effect of an evil eye is effect. Okay? There is an effect. And also he said, the influence of an evil eye is effect. If anything would proceed the destiny, it would be the influence of the evil eye. I will clarify to you this. Evil eye, he said also, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, evil eye is true. It puts a camel in a cooking pot and a man in the grave. What is the meaning of this hadith? So that before discussing the evil eye, it will be clear for us the Islamic point of view. In this hadith, Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, he is giving the proof of the effect of an evil eye. There is an evil eye and it is effective. And it can cause death. Okay? Because when he said that it puts a camel in a cooking pot, this means that the camel died. And then he is in the cooking. They are cooking. So this means that the evil eye can cause death for, not only for the man, even for the animals. Okay? Because he said also, it can put a man in the grave. Okay, so this is to clarify how the evil eye is effective. In order to understand how the evil eye is effective, we must believe that the evil eye is part of Allah's decree. Okay, this is a fact. For example, it is the decree of Allah for a person to die suddenly. Okay, a handsome young man is coming to the masjid. Okay, and it is the decree of Allah that he will die after 3 steps. This is Allah's decree. So the door of the office will be opened. Suddenly, someone will come and give him a look. He will drop dead. Okay? Yes, this is actually how Allah's decree works. There must be a reason. So the evil eye is the reason for Allah's decree. So it is under Allah's control. This is the most important point to understand. No one can cause harm or give benefit except by Allah's will. So it is not out of Allah's will. It is by Allah's will. It is the reason for whatever Allah planned for us or decreed for us to happen. But we must try to protect ourselves from the evil eye. Okay? So, inshallah, next week I will stop here so that you can have some information about the evil eye and knowledge. And inshallah, next week we will learn more about the evil eye and we will learn more about the protection from the envy and evil eye. But now, inshallah, we will read 2 questions so that, inshallah, we will learn from the questions of the people. I will give you the questions to read. Okay, but not the answer, just the question. You can read question number 1 with the recorder because we are recording. This is the question.
This first one?
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum. Can a child give evil eye? My 9-year-old son said to me that he hoped that I and my husband will get a divorce. He said this after I rebuked him for being rude to me. After this, my husband and I had an argument. My son noticed I'm not talking to my husband, and he said, I hope you get divorced, and I'm going to live with my daddy, my husband. That same day, we exchanged heated messages, and my husband said that my son's dua is powerful, but my husband didn't pronounce divorce. My son is a good boy who often get praised when he was in school by teacher and parents because of his manner and his beautiful recitation. Then he started to get really bad to his parents, especially me. It seemed like he hated me. I am strict and I beat him lightly when he is bad, just like his dad. But he hated me and I don't know why. My other kids are not like this. How should I deal with him if he has evil eye? Do I make ruqya on him?
So let us know the answer. You see, this is a very special case. You know, I never heard about a son or who has an evil eye to his mother. Very strange feeling, actually. And also the expression which the son is telling to his mother, I have an evil eye towards you. Okay.
No, there
are not mentioned. Okay. Children, the answer is children are often the victims of the evil eye, okay? Not it. After research and investigation, we couldn't find any mention of a case which a child casts the evil eye on a person. However, it can't be ruled out. Casting the evil eye on others doesn't necessarily indicate that the doer is evil. It may sometimes happen when a person casts a look of admiration or the like, as scholars have explained. So what is mentioned in the question about this 9-year-old boy may have nothing to do with an evil eye in the first place. He wished that his parents would get a divorce. This is a sort of supplication that may or may not be answered. The behavior of this child, especially his misconduct towards his parents, the cause of it should be investigated and action should be taken to treat it. So actually it is mentioned that a child can't have an evil eye, because you know the evil eye is based on the feeling of envy, hatred, and you know that someone he wants the deprivation of the blessing. This can't be the feeling of a child 9 years old, but maybe that child he is always hearing his mother speaking or talking about the evil eye. Okay, so he has, you know, the idea from his mother and he used it against his mother. Okay, but we must believe that, you know, he is not well-mannered, but he doesn't have an evil eye. They like the discussion.
I just feel like that if you don't allow it to affect you, it doesn't affect you as much. Like, I see the people that are really believe in it, and I think it changed their life and their way. But if you feel like it's Allah's will, like whatever is going to happen, and don't let it affect you, and you can give me an evil eye, but I don't feel like it's going to affect me. I don't care. You can stare me down and be... But I don't believe that you can affect my life.
Yes, you don't have the power.
You don't have the power. Only God has the power to affect me. And so you can be jealous, you can be envious, you can do all that to me. I don't care.
Yes.
God is the one that's going to, if he doesn't like me, he will do it to me.
Yes.
But I don't feel your evil eye will do anything to me.
But you know, this is very good. You know, this is based on your belief that the only one who can cause harm or prevent harm is Allah. But because of the weak belief of the people, you know, they believe that a person can cause for them harm or can, you know, prevent harm. This is because of the weak belief. Okay? But alhamdulillah, as you are mentioning, that actually if you believe in the evil eye, that it is, you know, because of the people and not controlled by Allah, you must avoid all the people. You must be away from all the people. Okay? Because how you can judge that maybe today... Safiya will have an evil eye for example, for my scarf, or Sister Hanan, or whatever. You will be all the time having this suspicion in your heart, in your mind and in your heart, so you will be crazy. And those people whom they believe in the evil eye, they are crazy, to tell you the truth.
I would just like to add one thing to your story. I think what you're saying is completely, I agree with it, it's true. But also thing is, one thing is that you acknowledge the fact that evil eye is something that does exist. And then you just do the precautionary stuff that needs to be done, like recite your du'as, your surah ikhlas, your ayatul kursi, right, and this and that. And then, you know, you believe that it exists, but I'm protecting myself with this. And then, you know.
But you know, I think...
But I totally agree with what you're saying. You shouldn't let it affect you or think too much about it.
But you see, what I like in what she Shawn?
Shan?
Shan?
Shana.
Okay, mentioned. Shana? Shana. What Shana mentioned is that, you know, when you discuss the evil eye, immediately say that the evil eye will not be harmful except by the command of Allah.
Yes.
Get Allah immediately.
Yes.
Okay, before moving to how to protect it, we will learn how to protect.
Yes.
But you will never believe in the protection except when you believe that Allah is the one. Okay, you get my point?
Yes.
This is the most important issue, and this is the most difficult regarding the evil eye.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the people, in reality, they fear the evil eye.
Yeah.
Okay, so if they believe that it is from Allah, so why I will fear that person? There are people, when you know that, for example, sister so-and-so, she has an evil eye, for example, with no intention. She doesn't have the intention, but she has an evil eye. And actually, those whom they have evil eye, by time, the close friends, they know those people. Okay? So if I believe that it is from Allah, okay, I will, inshallah, say, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Then I will treat that sister normally. Okay? But those whom they believe that the evil eye is from that sister, and they get Allah out, okay, they will never talk to that sister at all. Everyone will try to avoid her, and everyone will say to the other one, avoid her. She has evil eye. She can destroy you. She can cause a lot of troubles for you. Okay, she can harm you. No one can cause harm or prevent harm except Allah. Okay.
I have a real incident where a friend of ours,
She has an evil eye. She used to tell us, oh, your husband is such a big shot, da-da-da. And then my husband went through very difficulty, and we lost our home, and all this and that. So now, I do not invite her to my house. I know, God is in... And I don't backstab her or anything, but I try to keep her at a distance.
Yes, I will. Now, you see, this is the kind of people whom they have the even eye by intention. Yes, okay, she doesn't have a good heart.
No,
yes, this is, you know, and because of that, you know, there are two types of people. Mm-hmm. Those whom they have the evil eye by intention, she feels jealousy towards you, and she's not happy that you are happy, so she wants to harm you.
Correct.
So you must avoid that person.
Yeah.
And everyone must avoid that person until that person changes her behavior. She must be aware that everyone is trying to get rid of any relation with her because she has bad intention. You know, but there are other people whom they don't have that intention, and you know, out of nothing they have the evil eye. No, they finish prayer. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So Alhamdulillah, we will stop here, and inshallah we'll keep on. You want to read a question? No, I have 5 minutes. Here. Let us have the last question in the class, inshallah.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum. I would like to know, how does one repent from possibly afflicting someone with the evil eye? I'm feeling an extreme sense of guilt because I feel that I might have caused some harm to a specific sister. I myself have a difficulty getting married due to a medical problem, and when I saw this sister, she was pregnant with her fourth child in her last months of pregnancy. So I remember thinking to myself, people have it so easy, unlike me. But I never wished any evil upon her. Later on, her baby died while she was giving birth to him due to some complications. Could this be because of my negative thoughts? I never meant to harm anyone. Please advise me on what to do. I am very worried and sad about this.
This is a very sad story. Actually, here the answer is that, first of all, you should know that the child dying when his mother was giving birth to him was not necessary due to you affecting him with your evil eye. So don't worry about this matter, and don't let it be your major concern, as it may divert your determination for achieving what benefits you in the worldly life and the hereafter. Actually, in this case, you know, this is actually a good person because she feels guilty towards others. And her feelings that she doesn't have a baby easily and the other they have very easy, this is normal. Okay? But she because she is very sensitive regarding her feelings, she is all the time under the impression that whatever harm will happen to others, okay, it will be because of her evil eye. And this is wrong. Okay? Whatever Allah decreed for that baby, there is no life for that baby. Okay? So that baby will never come to this life. Okay? It is not because of that sister, but this is a good feeling. We must be all the time sensitive towards our feeling towards the other, so that inshallah we will not have these feelings, and inshallah we will continue to learn about the protection and the treatment in details of envy and evil eyes in the coming classes, inshallah. Do you want to say anything?
So does it mean that the lesson that we learned.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, ruler of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the Day of Judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. The best of our life, our last moments. The best day of our life, the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day.